Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We want level-headed. Level-headed. And when it comes to level-headed and making sure we get a good rock-solid opinion on everything from a fantastic writer, he is Nate Ulrich, and he is from theohio.com and, of course, the Akron Beacon Journal. And all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, Nate, how are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. All right. You're bringing a level of calm to the show already after this first hour of people very, very upset about what the Browns did last night. What's your take on what they did?
Okay. I'm going to try to live up to your billing here. I got to tell you guys, you know, by yesterday morning, it really sunk in the Browns are, for me, that the Browns are going to take Baker Mayfield. 24 hours later, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around John Dorsey making Mayfield the pick at number one. Just because, you know, part of the problem is I don't really know Dorsey. People here don't know Dorsey. The media doesn't know Dorsey here. The fans don't know Dorsey. So I've got to get to know him better because he isn't who I thought he was when it comes to quarterback. I mean, I thought he wanted a prototype. I thought he was a prototype guy. I thought he was a size, weight, speed, or a height, weight, speed guy. But it turns out here he is making a statement with this pick that he is not that at quarterback and that he is more into the intangibles than, you know, picking a physical prototype. And, you know, they're all risks, right? I mean, that's what the draft is. True. And, you know, especially a quarterback. But the bottom line for me is Baker Mayfield has to be an exception to the rule because of his size to be a successful quarterback in the league and to be a good number one pick. And I'm a little uneasy with that feeling at number one, when you have other guys at the position who are the prototypes staring you in the face. And that's why
Sam
Darnold and Josh Rosen were guys who appealed to me. I could never get behind Josh Allen because of his accuracy issues. But Darnold and Rosen were right there for the taking.
So with that in mind, and I think there's every possibility that Baker Mayfield becomes a good NFL quarterback, but I agree with you. It's an unconventional pick. And I mentioned this earlier, Nate. Somebody called our morning show today and had something that I thought was interesting. Early on, John said he had seen Baker Mayfield play a ton and threw that out there. And then they bring in Scott McLuhan to help out, who had already been on record as saying Baker Mayfield was his guy. Do you think they gave this thing a proper search? I would think they did. But you had two guys who already basically had thrown some weight into the Baker Mayfield corner before this thing ever got going. Is that bad?
Well, I do think that they researched this very thoroughly. I think all the homework was done. I think it just came down to, you know, them valuing this guy's intangibles, the leadership, the attitude. And I think when they looked at those things, they saw Brett Favre. I know Dorsey wouldn't say it publicly last night. McLuhan has said it publicly twice when he said that Baker was his favorite quarterback in this class in October and January in radio interviews before the Browns hired him as a consultant. These are guys who came up through the Green Bay Packers organization as scouts, formed a you know, very strong friendship and bond there together, saw Brett Favre become a legend and win a Super Bowl there. And I think they just are reminded, you know, of Brett Favre when they see Baker Mayfield. Now, Baker Mayfield does not have a Brett Favre on. It's not the case. But I think when it comes to the culture that the Browns have, They think this is the guy who can change that. Personally, I'd rather have a guy who is the physical prototype, who has good intangibles, and I think that was Sam Darnold. But, you know, John Dorsey's been in this league for 27 years. He has the credentials. That's why he gets to make the pick.
So let's walk down this road a little bit more. At number four, what were your thoughts when they took Ward?
I am fine with Ward. I'm fine with Ward. I would have rather had Bradley Chubb right there at number four when he's available, just because I'm just so fascinated by the idea of having a dominant pass rush for once. And you're in a division with some really good quarterbacks and have been for a while, and the best way to combat those guys is to get after them. And I just fell in love with the idea of having Bradley Chubb and Myles Garrett as bookends, with Emmanuel Ogba rotating with them, and then one of those guys kicking inside. Any of the three could do it. You know, people forget Myles Garrett played three technique a lot last year. I mean, his first sack came as a defensive tackle over a guard. So, you know, I just like the idea of getting those guys on the field together on third downs, having one of them play inside. I just thought that would have been awesome. But corner is such an important position too. You know, and not quite as important as edge rusher, but the Browns certainly needed corner when you look at their roster. And Denzel Ward played the style of corner at Ohio State that Greg Williams wants to play, the press man coverage. And Denzel Ward is one of the fastest players in the draft class. He tied for the two other players for the best 40 time at the Combine. And there's a lot to like about Denzel Ward from, you know, a player standpoint and a person's, you know, character standpoint. So I'm okay with Denzel Ward. I would have picked Chubb there, but I think Denzel Ward's going to be a good player.
I agree with you on that, Nate. And I also agree I would have taken Chubb as well. What we haven't talked about yet today is what's coming up today. And they have three picks. They have two high picks. Harold Landry is a guy out there who could give you that other defensive end if you're looking for that out of Boston College. Some folks have a first-round grade on him. Darius Geis, who a lot of folks think is a terrific running back. Ronald Jones is out there. If you're Dorsey today, what are you thinking?
Yeah, those names right there are definitely the candidates I would put right up there. I think offensive tackle might be one of the picks. We could see filling in needs on both sides of the line type day here. I could see him picking Harold Landry, but I could also see him going to the offensive line for the other pick. Connor Williams from Texas is right there. We talk about it, guys. I mean, I think they want a left tackle to compete with Sean Coleman. I don't think that they are betting the farm on Sean Coleman being able to lock down that starting job long term. So with Joe Thomas retiring, you know, we've been spoiled here with Joe Thomas at left tackle. Browns fans have not been spoiled pretty much in any way except for left tackle play for a decade.
Great point.
You know, yep, they've been tortured in every other way, but they've been spoiled with left tackle play. It's a huge loss that they're not going to be able to fill those shoes. So I think that, you know, that would make a lot of sense, to draft a left tackle here early in the second round and throw him into the mix in that competition with Sean Coleman.
Hey, Nate, do you think these are huge? Let me put it this way. How do you think these picks will fit in with Hugh Jackson? Because like Jeff said, I mean, we've heard you say before, he likes big quarterbacks with big hands, and that's not what they got.
Right. I think it shows that, you know, we knew John Dorsey was making the picks, and there's the evidence right there.
Right.
Baker Mayfield is not Hugh Jackson's type. He does not fit Hugh Jackson's profile. Like I admitted at the beginning of the call, I didn't think he fit John Dorsey's profile either. I don't know John well enough, and we're learning things about him. And, wow, we all learned a really big lesson at number one overall yesterday. He values the intangibles more, obviously. the winning, the ability to create that winning culture. And he did it in college. You know, we all know the NFL is a different story, so we'll see. But that was a surprise to me about Dorsey. With Hugh, we know he wants him to be at least 6 foot, at least 6 foot two. And you know, that's like it doesn't change. I mean, that's what Hugh wants. And Hugh says, "Well, there's always outliers." Well, yeah, I mean, there are, but you know, Drew Brees is Drew Brees. There's nobody like him. Russell Wilson is successful, but he is a crazy good athlete. Baker Mayfield is not close to the athlete, if you look at the numbers, that Russell Wilson is. So, you know, Drew Brees is kind of the guy who, in you know, this modern era, today's NFL, who has succeeded from the pocket at that height. And that's really, that's what it boils down to. Can Baker Mayfield be that special outlier? John Dorsey just bet his legacy on it.
And Nate, I think you just touched on something that's really important. Even though I wouldn't say Baker Mayfield's slow, he's certainly not fast. He was the seventh fastest quarterback at the combine with a 4.84. And nobody drafted, the only guy drafted higher who was faster was Josh Allen. But he's not fast enough to not have to be a pocket passer in the NFL, is he?
I don't think so. Like I'm saying, exactly your point, Jeff. I mean, Russell Wilson is a different kind of athlete. He just is. I mean, he can make those plays at the NFL level. Baker Mayfield could create like that in college when he wanted to, but you know, he's a pass first guy. He's not stylistically Johnny running around, you know, for the sake of running around, basically. You know, in the NFL, will he be able to create? It's going to be a lot harder. Guys are bigger, faster, stronger. We know that. And they are going to try to keep him in the pocket so that, you know, when he does want to create, it's going to be very difficult. And so he's going to have to be a huge exception and win from the pocket at his size.
Nate, thank you very much. We always appreciate your time. And, of course, we'll read you in the Beacon Journal and at Ohio.com. Thanks, Nate.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Nate.
Soon. Thank you.
Bye.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.